A reading from the Gospel of John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his face, his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. In the late 1980s, Julia Esquivel, an exiled Guatemalan poet, published a book of poetry that spoke of the courage of over 200,000 Guatemalan martyrs. Julia, however, wrote the poems to celebrate the indestructible unity and faith of her indigenous people. The book is entitled Threatened with Resurrection. What a strange title. Isn't that what we're celebrating today and tomorrow and the following days? Haven't we been looking forward to this feast of Easter? When we speak of Jesus' resurrection and think of Easter services, we hear hymns of praise with echoes of alleluias ringing out loud and clear. And no wonder, because we have Easter faith. So what does Julia mean when she says resurrection is threatening? How can it threaten us? For sure, when something unexpected happens, it can throw us off balance. Being out of sync with the world as we usually experience it can disorient and confuse us. When we're surprised by a shift in our surroundings, it's hard to know where to turn. Could this be what Julia is alluding to? Because as we listen to the gospel this morning, it's not a bad description of the disciples as they reach the tomb. Each in their own way finds the unexpected, and they do not yet understand. A huge stone removed, exposing an empty grave with the stench of death no longer present. Linens neatly rolled up, carefully positioned. No wonder the disciples didn't know what to think. No wonder they didn't yet understand. Anyone in their right mind would be frightened and confused. Not even death could be counted on that day. We know that this is not exactly what happened, since the other Gospels tell the same story with different details, and we know this is a big happening, impossible to explain. So no wonder the witnesses fall back on poetic language, trying to describe their experience. What's so frightening about resurrection? We know the answer to that question. It's big, impossible to explain. Hard to know what to do because there's so little to hold on to that's familiar. Resurrection, new life, might sound great, but we know how it feels. We know it's not just a moving forward. There's always a letting go of the known, the trusted. New life is shaky ground, insecure, because it's about change. Any change is hard, but resurrection, that implies earthquake territory, huge boulders being displaced, hearts and minds being shattered, confused, eventually transformed, and no one wants to embark on that kind of journey by oneself. The unknown is intimidating, Sometimes it just seems easier to stay with the old and the well-known. Even if it hurts, it often seems much more attractive. It's safe. Nothing moves. Nothing changes. There's a true but tragic story about Christopher Columbus, who, to the very end of his life, refused to believe that he had discovered a new world. Columbus insisted that Cuba was part of China because when he left Spain, he didn't intend to discover anything new. His intention was to reach a known land, and no one could change his mind on that matter. Because Columbus was so fixated by his comfortable boundaries of what his mind allowed room for, he closed himself off from his brilliant new discovery and ended his earthly life in despair. Columbus died a bitter man. He had no friends and no colleagues who respected him. Literally, the newness of his discovery threatened him to death. Leaving old habits, opinions, expectations behind, and adjusting to a new, even though truer, life is threatening. Whether it's discovering something about ourselves that we have refused to acknowledge or examine, discovering a mortal wound in our church, the church we have loved and believed in, or coming to grips with the fact that our political structures are gravely flawed. It means crossing a threshold from which we cannot turn back. And that's what we come to celebrate. Everything old has passed away, we chant during the Easter season. And on this day, not even death looks the same. Resurrection plays us well. Everything is off balance. And in that gap, God's Spirit dwells. We know why resurrection is threatening, and that's why we come this morning, because we trust that God dwells in the gaps and the silences of our lives, just waiting to move us forward. We, like the disciples, don't understand, but we, along with them, believe that what happened to Jesus has happened to us many times over. And we pray this morning for yet another resurrection, for ourselves and for our world. For it is God who rolls back the stone and shatters death, and who comes to shatter anything that holds us back from new life. Easter is not the end of our transformation. It's just the beginning of another, and another chance to be transformed by the power of God's Holy Spirit.